You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
A reading from the book of Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, I pray at this time that by the work and the power and the presence of your Spirit, that ultimately the word that would go forth and the word that would remain would be Jesus, your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen. I was remembering something years ago, which impacted me in my life, not just in that particular moment, but even to this day. But before that, we have before us today this reading from Job and also this reading from Mark's Gospel, and we have whirlwind. We have storms all around us in Job and in Mark. And the whirlwind, the storm, which I'll begin by referencing, was one which was personal in my own life. I've shared stories before of when I went away to school at the Citadel. And of course, as y'all know, going away to school is a big deal, period. But certainly that was, we'll call it formative. It was a formative moment in my life in that particular moment. And one of the things, by way of discernment, I was pretty sure shortly after arrival that I hated it. So that much seemed clear. And at my life in that time, and at any time, but particularly in that particular moment, 18 years old, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. My paternal grandfather, whom I really loved and adored and was close to, he died. And that was sort of the first big experience of death for me, someone that I loved and with whom I was close. And Paula was away in school in North Carolina. And I broke my foot right before the start of the soccer season. So really kind of the only thing that perhaps I looked forward to, I was not able to do. And so, I mean, just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And I was as down and depressed as I had ever been. And I began, of course, to plan my liberation, my deliverance, and went home for Thanksgiving And I was anxious and jumpy because I'd been practicing my speech that I was going to tell my father. And basically, the long and the short was, you know what? I really learned from this experience, and I'll be able to take these lessons and apply them to my next college experience, where it's going to be better. And so that was the whole deal going on. And thanks be to God, there was a need, something that we didn't have. And Dad and I went to the store, butter. We went to get some butter. And so this was the moment. We're sitting there in the parking lot, and I can still remember it was the Big Star parking lot. And we were sitting there in the parking lot, and I began to unfold this explanation to my father about why I had learned and why I was going to be better and why I needed to change and why I needed to get out of where I was and the situation that I was in. And I remember Dad's just sort of very graciously, very calmly, one word, no. So that, you know, it was just kind of... You know, again, I'd spent months practicing this, and he said, you know, kindly, no. And he went on, and he said a little more. He said, well, you know, no, you made a commitment, and you need to honor that commitment, and we'll talk at the end of the year. And that was the end of that discussion. And as I look back, I'm grateful for Dad in that moment. And one of the things, obviously, I'm certain that was not an easy answer for Dad. I imagine that pained him to say that to me. And knowing me and loving me as his son, I'm sure he didn't just sort of put his head on his pillow without any sort of anxiety or worry about how things might turn out. But what Dad had in that particular moment that I didn't is he had a farther sight, and he had a greater perspective than I did. In that particular moment, I wanted to be, understandably, rightly, pulled out of that situation, but Dad could see beyond what I could see. And I share that with you as we begin, and there's a certain danger, and I want to qualify that, because one of the things we see in the book of Job, of course, is that Job is in the whirlwind. Job is in the storm. Everything that could go wrong in his life had gone wrong in his life. Death and loss and the loss of his health and everything that could come undone did come undone in the life of Job. And if you remember, one of the words of his wife to him was, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? Thanks, honey. That was Job, and everything that sort of could go wrong did go wrong for Job. And we have this moment here that's actually beautiful and poetic. God speaks to Job out of the storm. God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind. And what I'd like to offer to you and to me, and not platitudinally, not just always look on the bright side of life, but isn't that our experience? Isn't it often out of the storms? Isn't it often out of the whirlwind, the things which are nebulous, the things that are beyond us, that God seems to speak into our lives and tends to speak a word? And one of the interesting things about Job, of course, is that Job's friends, the impression of God is a God who at very best is a disciplinarian and at very worst is waiting for us to slip up. Because if you remember Job's friends, what they say to Job is, what did you do wrong? Things are going bad for you. Surely you did something wrong. And you need to think about it, and you need to identify it, and you need to confess it, and then maybe things will, thank God will have mercy, and things will resolve themselves. And what we see wonderfully blown up in the book of Job is it doesn't work that way. Job was a righteous man. Job was... a good man. As far as people go, Job was one of the good ones. And all these things fell upon him. And interestingly, in Job's, in the book of Job, one of the things that we see as things go on, at the end, Job doesn't have all the answers. But what he is given is he's given this vision of God. He's given this vision of God. There is the recognition and the realization for Job of the love of God and of the presence of God. And not just sort of in creation, but also for Job and in Job's life. And the question, I think, for us at the end of the day, the question that we have of God is the question that the disciples ask Jesus as the storm and as the waves beat upon and break over the boat. The question they ask Jesus and the question that we ask God contend is, do you care? We have different intellectual questions that we grapple with, but at the end of the day, isn't that our biggest question of God? Do you care? Do you love us? That's, I would say, what we want to know in our lives and the relationships around us. Are we cared for? Are we respected? Are we valued? At the end of the day, are we loved? Is that not what you want to know in the relationships in your life? Isn't that what so many, or quite frankly, all of our efforts are a way to feel loved and a way to feel valued? Jesus and the disciples get in the boat and they make their way across the Sea of Galilee. And of course, we hear that as they make their way in all these wonderful eyewitness details, they get Jesus from another boat and take him just as he was, and they put him in their boat and they begin to make their way across. And even to this day, the Sea of Galilee sits low, and the mountains above it obviously are much higher, and the cold air from the mountains above and the warm air from the sea below collide with one another, and they create these sudden storms that are sudden, that are violent. It even has a name, the Sharkia. The shark is the name given for these sudden storms which continue to rise up to this day. And if any of you have ever been out on a boat in a storm, you know that you suddenly feel very small as it comes upon you quickly. You can suddenly feel very small, very insignificant, and crying out. And the boat in which they found themselves is likely about 26 feet long, about 7.5 feet wide, maybe about 4 feet high, with decks fore and aft. And so that's not very large. That's not very large a boat when you find yourself suddenly in the storm. And interestingly, we hear the only time we hear of Jesus being asleep is now in the midst of the storm. Jesus is asleep. And we hear not only the fear, but also, I think, the annoyance and the exasperation of Jesus' followers. Don't you care that we are perishing, is what they call out to him as they shake him awake. Are you not paying attention? Don't you care that we're perishing? Implied, of course, in that is do something, is what they're saying to Jesus. But this is funny, isn't it, of human nature, of the human condition. Jesus, at his word, we see the authority of Jesus is such that his words are effectual. That which he says is accomplished, and he says those words, peace be still. They ask the question, don't you care? Don't you care? Why don't you do something? And then when God does something, and this is so true of the human condition, they're unsettled. They're unsettled because God has acted. God has revealed himself, and in a way it's some comfort, but in a way it's also the realization of how small they are in comparison to God. Who then is this, is what they say, that even the wind and even the waves obey him? That which would have been representative of chaos, that which would destroy them, from a word they are restored, from a word they are delivered, and yet even in that deliverance they are unsettled. One of the things, I don't know if y'all have listened to this on Audible, James Taylor, it's about his first 21 years of life, and he's the narrator as well, and it's a great listen, and there's some of his music is interspersed in between, and the name of it is James Taylor Breakshot, My First 21 Years. And if y'all know anything about his life, and in fact, he kind of sings about it some, his father was one whom he loved and respected greatly, but could also be one who felt very distant from him as well. In fact, his song Frozen Man is in some ways, he says, about his father, again, whom he admired, whom he loved, but yet could feel very distant from him also, a figure loved but far away. And James tells the story of, this was in 1967. He was 18 years old at the time, and he was in New York City living, and he had a band, The Flying Machine, James Taylor and The Flying Machine, if any of you remember that one. And his band was falling apart, and his life was falling apart too, and particularly he had become addicted to heroin. That was very much present and a problem in New York and the time and the place and sort of the life that he was living at that particular time. And he called his father, and his dad asked him a simple question, but not a simple question. Son, how are you doing? And James said it must have come out in his voice and his response, because he says, you know, I'm not doing well. I'm not doing well, is what he told his dad. And then his dad said this to him. He said, "What? Give me your address. Where are you? And stay right there. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming for you." And he said his dad rented a car, and he drove through the night from North Carolina, collected his son to bring him back home. That's what we all long for, to be loved, to have that person come for us, to be gathered up. We all know and experience life has all sorts of ups and downs. Things change quickly, suddenly. There's so much beyond our control. That's just a reality that we can all accede to, the reality and the presence of that. And yet in the midst of that, we long to know that we're loved, and we long to know that we're valued, and we long to know that we're sought, because with that, there's a security. With that, there's a void filled. With that, there is that life and that fullness of life that we long for. And ultimately, what we see in the person and the work of Jesus, what we see in God is a God who comes to get us, who comes to say, I see you. I see you in all of your brokenness and all of your fragmentation and all of the whirlwind of your life. I see you in the midst of all of that. And I've come to gather you. And Jesus, in his life and his rejection and his atoning work on the cross and in his resurrection, steps into all of the storm, all of the whirlwind, all of that and the human condition that you and I might have. In the midst of all of that, an ultimate security which cannot be taken away from us, that we are loved and that we are valued beyond our wildest imagining. And as we hear that this day, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know us. As the prayer says, to you all hearts are open. We give you thanks, we give you praise that you come to us in the midst of that, that we might be loved and gathered through Jesus, your Son. Lord, do that good and gracious and life-giving work in our lives and in our hearts individually and in our lives collectively. And all this we ask in your name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.